Here we are in part two of our introduction to Gemara class. Last week, we started with Megillah, page Beis, Amud Beis, Beis side one. And as a reminder, at the top left, you see the big Beis. That's where we are. So we started and we found a couple of pauses. We went through a couple of lines. So I'm just going to quickly review them and how we made our way through this by finding common themes and repeated words or phrases. And of course, you also want to make the distinction when you find a letter vav at the beginning of a word, because that means and the and often enough introduces a new idea. Sometimes it's an and which is similar to the and of, like, when you're talking about two different colors, blue and white, blue and gold. But often enough it introduces a new idea. So the first thing which we did was in the Mishnah, starting with that big word, Megillah. We said Megillah, Nikreis, and since the next five things are all a similar kind of repeated format of letters, we discerned that they were numbers. And as I gave you, not on the last page, but on the second to last page, we have the packet, we have the numerical values of the letters, and so we were able to figure out what all these mean, because these little abbreviations are actually referring to numbers. And the numbers meaning the dates in the month of Adar when the Megillah could be read. So Megillah Nikreis, Be Yud Aleph, Be Yud Beis, Be Yud Gimel, Be Yud Dalet, Be Tesvav, means that the Megillah, referring to Megillah, Esther, Nikreis, can be read on the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. Of course, all of those refer to dates in the month of Adar. And then we saw that Lo Pachos V'Lo Yoser, those are opposite phrases. Not, pachos means less, or in this case, earlier, not a lesser date, not on the 10th, the 9th, the 8th, etc. But lo yoser means not more, meaning not on a later date, the 16th, the 17th, or the 18th. That was the first thing which we saw. And then we saw the three categories, which are mentioned in the Mishnah, explaining how these dates can be utilized, or at least what the criteria for the usage of these dates are. And then today we're going to go into a little more detail, starting with the middle word on the fifth line. Okay, so let's just look at them again. Karachin, Hamukafin, Choma, Mimos, Yoshua bin Nun, Korin b'tesvav. Okay, so the b'tesvav, the middle of that third line, was a repeat. Remember, we had a repeat. So the repeat indicates to us that it's the end of a statement, simply because it's explaining how you get to the idea of tesvav. Tesvav being 15. So we went back and then we broke down the phrase krachin hamukafin choma. So which means krachin means cities, hamukafin, that are surrounded by a choma. Choma is a wall. Mimos Yoshua ben Nun. We noted last time that Yoshua ben Nun is a name that we are familiar with, and therefore we're able to discern that that is a phrase certainly that those three words are connected, Yoshua ben Nun. And so Mimos means from the days of, so a city that's surrounded by a wall, from the days of Yoshua ben Nun, Korin b'tesvav. They read it on the 15th. And that is, of course, a practice today in Jerusalem. Yerushalayim has that practice. And if there are any other cities that are able to determine that a wall around them has been around for almost 3,000 years, then or over 3,000 years, then that place would also follow that practice of reading the Megillah on the 15th day of Adar, and that discussion is going to be furthered in the Gemara component of this page. The next phrase which we had was Kfarim va'ayaros gedolos korin b'yudalid. So there you have another repeat, korin, which means to read, and b'yudalid is a repeat from the first line, which is on the 14th. So the next, all that was left to us was to translate the words Kfarim va'ayaros gedolos. So I don't remember if we looked them up, but certainly I told you that Kfarim refers to villages, and ayaros gedolos, Ayar is ear is a means a city, and Ayaros is the plural. So Ayaros means cities, Gdalos, which are big, Korin B'Yudalad. So we're talking about big cities, but obviously not cities that are surrounded by walls, because that was in the first category. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then we have a depiction of the of that of the third category, which was already mentioned, but we're given one more description about it. Ella shehakfarim makdimin liyom hakmisa. Okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the way that we break this down is based on a couple of things of note. Number one, noting that Ella is a word of transition, and also noting that the word ketzad, where I stop, ketzad is a question, and it usually is the, well, I shouldn't say always, it's not always the opening to a question, but it's certainly the end of a question, and sometimes it is the question. Okay, in this particular case, it is the question. So we know, therefore, from reading before it, that or from getting to it, that whatever comes before it is the end of an idea. So Ella means rather. Shehakfarim, that's a word which we had immediate line before, with the addition of two prefixes, sheha, which means that the, shehakfarim, that the kfarim are villages, makdimin, they go earlier, liyom hakanisa, to the day of entrance. Kanisa means an entrance. And literally, that's what it means literally, but it refers to a market day. Okay, that in the small towns, once upon a time, you didn't necessarily have skilled shul people, or even a minyan, right? You might not have had a minyan. And so the Mishnah is describing a time and place when people were in these small towns, they would come into the bigger town or into the city a couple times a week on what we would call in English market day. And on those days, they would find somebody who could read the Megillah and they could somehow make a minyan, and therefore they would read the Megillah. Although you don't really need a minyan to read the Megillah, but that's how they would do it. Okay, on those days. All right, so with that as our introduction and our quick review from last time, we're going to begin now with the word ketzad. And ketzad, as I mentioned before, is a question. And then we're going to look for the breaks and then work backwards. Okay, sound good? Sound good. Okay, great. So here we go. So ketzad is a question. I don't remember if I gave you this word as a translation. No, I only gave some acronyms. All right, so that's fine. Ketzad means how. So what do you think the how is referring to? You have to also understand that when it comes to the Mishnah and when it comes to the Gemara, that sometimes the Gemara will give us one word. This is actually very clearly spelled out through the way the Art Scroll translates things. Because what Art Scroll does is it sometimes gives you like a long sentence or two or three, and it will show you the translation of the word that's in the Gemara in bold, and everything else is written just in a regular non-bold font. Mm-hmm. So what the Gemara is really doing is it's talking out, that translation is talking out, imagine speaking aloud, right, all that's implied in the question. So, for example, if somebody asks me a question, okay, and I wanted to talk to them in Gemara language, so if they said, where in the Torah, I'll use an example from this week's parsha. Where in the Torah does Yaakov meet Esav to have the transaction over the soup? Okay, so if I were writing the Gemara, I would put a little circle, and I would write min hasadeh. Okay, because the Torah doesn't tell us where Yaakov is, just says that Yaakov is cooking the soup, but Esav comes in min hasadeh, which means from the field. So just by quoting that little piece, if I were to translate and to explain what the Gemara would say, those two words are buzzwords, because they give the knowledgeable person understands that there's background to those two words. Mm-hmm. So if that were the question, where did Yaakov and Esav meet? So I would, and I were writing in Gemara language, I would say min hasadeh. Now the Art Scroll translation would say something like along the following: where did Yaakov and Esav meet? So it would say Yaakov, it would say in non-bold letters, because it's not translating yet, Yaakov was cooking a stew somewhere. Esav came in, now you'll see bold letters, from the field, and then it would continue to explain. He was tired, and he came over to his brother, and he told him he was hungry, etc. So, what do we get there? The Gemara just gave us two words, a quote from a pasuk, min asadeh, which means from the field. But in order for the Gemara learner to understand what the Gemara is showing us, the Gemara learner needs to fill in the blanks through whatever knowledge we have. So here, the Mishnah asked the question, ketzad, which means how. But what's the real question? What do you think the real question is?
Dealing with the marketplace.
More specifically,
about reading the Megillah.
Correct. Okay. How do you explain, through utilizing this idea of the marketplace, how do you explain, or how can you help me understand how the Megillah can be read on all the dates that you have given me? Okay, and that is exactly what the Mishnah is going to spend the rest of the time doing. It's going to lay out an example for us, and through laying out the example for us, it's going to show us. And it's not always going to spell it out clearly. Sometimes we need to imply a little bit, but we'll talk it out. Mm-hmm. So our job now is to note the repetitions. Okay? To note the repetitions, and of course, to therefore imply from these repeated phrases where the pauses and the breaks are so that we can do this right. Okay, so we're beginning after the word ketzad again, which means how. How do we understand which dates the Megillah is going to be read, and how does it work out with the particular circumstances that we described, namely the villages, the large cities, and the cities surrounded by a wall. Okay, how can the Megillah be read on the dates as described? Okay, so I'm going to read without inflection and see if you can tell me where there is a pause so that we can go back and break the phrases down. Chol lihiyos yud dalid bisheni kifarim v'ayaros gidolos korin bo bayom umukafos choma l'machor chol lihiyos bishlishi o birvi'i kfarim makdimin liyom haknisa ve'ayaros gidolos korin. What? Okay, hold on. Here's the question. The question is, have you seen any things repeated?
Yeah, you have repeated. You have kfarim.
Okay, correct. We have kfarim repeated. Ayaros gidolos. Good. Korin. Good.
Okay.
There's one key phrase, which there are a few key phrases, actually. This is a really excellent example of where repeated phrases appear. Okay, I'll tell you what it is. Okay, I'll tell you what it is. Look at the first two words that followed ketzad. Chol lios. Okay, that's it. Now look two lines down, middle of the line, from there. Chol lios. You see in the middle line? Okay, go down two more lines and look at the last word on the line. Chol lios. Go down another line. Look at the end of the line. Chol lios. Look two more lines down. Last word on the line again. Chol lios. Okay, two lines below that. First words on the line. Chol lios. Okay? So that is a repeated phrase. And once you know what that phrase means, then you'll be able to see how that phrase is utilized over and over in the Mishnah. Okay? And it's important. Chol lios means if it fell out to be. Okay, what we're talking about is Purim, remember, because and therefore the reading of the Megillah. So Chol lihiyos means if it fell out to be. If what fell out to be? If Purim fell out to be, and then it gives us all the scenarios. Chol lihiyos yud dalid b'sheni. What is sheni? Sheni is a number.
Two.
So if Yud Dalet, that means the 14th, Chol Lihiyos, Yud Dalet, Rosheni, if the 14th of Adar fell out on Sheni on Monday, Then it gives us the explanation for how the Megillah can be read on such and such date. And that is what each Chalios begins for us. It gives us the scenario of the 14th of Adar, meaning Purim, falling out on such and such days of the week. So let's work on this now. And now we're going to be able to see the formula pretty simply. Chol Lios Yudalid B'Sheni. If the 14th fell out on Sheni. What's Sheni?
Monday.
Monday. So now let's look at the phrase. All the way up to Chol Lios. Kfarim V'ayaros Gidalos Korin Bo Bayom Umukafos Choma L'machor. So we've seen a lot of these words before. Kfarim we know are villages. V'ayaros Gidalos. Those are the big cities. Big cities, correct. Korin, that means they read. We saw that word before. Bo Bayom means on that day. What's that day? We're talking about the four.
Second day.
On Monday, which is the 14th. They're reading it on that day, meaning on the 14th. Umu Kafos Choma Lamachar, and the cities surrounded by a wall are tomorrow. Okay, let's see if we can find the next simple pause. Because again, we have a Chol Lios. We know Chol Lios, so what do you think the next pause is going to be?
So it'll be, okay, but I'll tell you right away. Give me.
The most immediate pause after Chol Lios.
It says, B'Shlishi, or B'Rivi'i, Kfarim, Megdolim, B'Yom, HaKnesses,
B'Yos, B'Dolos,
Korin, B'Yom,
Umukafos, Choma,
Lamachar.
Okay. Right, so that's going to end there. We know that because Chol Lios. So where is the smallest, the first the significant pause within all that phrase? Okay, we're going to go back to Chol Lios, Bashlishi, O, Revi, Kfarim.
Where is this? Yom HaKnisa.
Okay, Yom HaKnisa. Okay, so Yom HaKnisa is going to be a break. Good, because we're introduced to the Kfarim. Remember what the Kfarim are? Kfarim are villages. So what Chol Lios means is if it falls out. So what are we talking about? If what falls out? We're talking about, again, we're talking about Purim. If the 14th of Adar falls out on Shlishi or Revi'i, correct, on Tuesday or Wednesday. So then, now we are going to see a change for the villagers. Kfarim, Magdimin, Liyom HaKnisa. Okay, and that was something which we saw earlier after the word Ella in the fourth line above. So the villagers will read it on the Yom HaKnisa. Yom HaKnisa equals market day. Okay, and then it gives us the status of the other days. Ayaros Gedolos,
those are the big cities.
Korin Bo Bayom, they read it on that day, either Tuesday or Wednesday. Umukafos Choma, and the ones surrounded by a wall, Lamachar. They're going to read the following day. Okay, and they also have a reader. So what does that translate to? So for the Kfarim, for the villagers who are going on the market day, what's a market day?
Market day is when they all get together.
Which was when?
Monday.
Right, Monday or Thursday. So they're not going to read it later to Thursday, because Thursday is too late for them. But they can read it on Monday. So if the 14th of Adar is on a Tuesday. So how many days back are they going to be reading it?
One
day. So therefore they're going to be reading on what day of Adar?
The 14th.
No, if the 14th is a Tuesday, they're reading it on?
The
13th. On the 13th. And if the 14th is on Wednesday, then they're going to be reading it on?
On the
13th. On the
15th.
No.
On Thursday.
No, they're reading it on Monday. The guys are going to read it. They can't, the villagers can't read it after the 14th.
Okay.
Only the walled city people can read it the 15th.
Okay.
So they're going to be reading it
on the 12th.
On the 12th, correct. And that's what we saw in the Mishnah. You could have either the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, or the 14th. So we just covered for the 12th and the 13th, and of course the 14th, if Monday is the 14th. So that's how we cover 12, 13, and 14th. And the remaining examples are going to follow along that same philosophy. Okay, so here we go. We continue. The last word on the line. Chol Lios Bachamishi. So again, what are we talking about? If the 14th of Adar, that's right.
On Thursday,
correct. So we have to talk it out. That's how you follow the flow of of the Mishnah. And the way that you know the flow in this particular case is because of all of the repetition of that chol yos, and then it gives us a number, and the number means the number of day of the week, in this case, Thursday. So chol yos b'chamishi, on Thursday. So if the 14th falls out on Thursday, then what do we get again? It's just like on Monday. Kfarim, Vayaros, Gedolos, Korin, Bo, Vayom. They're all read that day. Umukafas Choma, Lamachar, and the, those in the, what's Mukafas Choma?
That's the waltz.
Correct, waltz. They will read it the next day on the 15th, which will, for them will be on a Friday. Next example. Chalios, what's Ayin Shin? You want to see if you can guess what it is?
The 13th.
No, what's Ayin Shin? So I think I gave it to you. Did I give it to you? I didn't give it to you. I should have given it to you. Okay, Ayin Shin. Well, what are we up to? Let's put it that way. We've given examples of if it falls out on Monday, on Tuesday or Wednesday, or on Thursday. So what are we up to?
Either
if the 14th falls out on?
Friday.
Friday. So what do you think Ayin Shin stands for? It refers to Friday. What do you think it stands for? Ayin Shin. It's an acronym. Just like USA is an acronym. Ayin Shin. I'll give you a hint. Shin stands for Shabbos. So what's Ayin Shin? Erev.
Erev Shabbos.
Erev Shabbos. Okay, so that's Friday. Ayin Shin. And that's the kind of thing that a person might not know, but if following the logic and the flow of the Mishnah, day, because it starts with Monday, and then Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, so this is
Ayin Shin would be Erev Shabbos.
Right, it's Erev Shabbos. So it doesn't say Shishi, which it might otherwise say, but it says Ayin Shin, which is Shabbos. So then it gives us the same rules as we saw before. Kfarin, the villagers, Makdimin, Leo Makni. So they're going to go to the market day, which now at this point is which day of the week?
Erev
Shabbos. No. When's market day for them?
It's Monday.
No, well, Monday is one market day. The other market day is Thursday. Correct. Okay, the days when we read the Torah during the week, Monday and Thursday, are market days. So, market day. So they would go, and therefore, what day would they be reading it on? What date? If the 14th is Friday, and they're reading it on correct. So they're reading it on the 13th, which is Thursday. Okay. Va'ayoros gedolos umukafos choma. Ooh, see, now we have a small change. Because up until now, we've seen mukafos choma lamachar, meaning that every opportunity we had, the walled cities would read it the next day. So here it says, Ayaros Gedolos. So what's Ayaros Gedolos?
That's the big cities.
Correct. Umukafos Choma and the walled cities. Korin Bo Bayom. Korin means they read it on that day. So what's that day, meaning Friday?
Would be Erev Shabbos.
What's the date?
Would be the 15th.
No. Friday is the 14th. Okay, so Friday is the 14th. That means that even the walled cities are reading on the 14th. Why? It sounds like there's a rule there. The rule is that can the Megillah be read on Shabbos?
No.
The answer is no. And that's why they're going to be reading it on the 14th. Why don't they push it off to the 16th? What rule did the Mishnah... Meaning, why don't they push it off to Sunday?
Because you can't go past the 15th.
Correct. Because Sunday will already be the 16th and you can't read it on the 16th. The Mishnah gave us rules. You can go earlier than the 14th and 15th, but you cannot go later. You can't go past the 15th. Okay, so that's it. So what's left? What day of the week have we not covered for?
Shabbos.
So we haven't covered for Shabbos, and we haven't covered for Sunday. So that's what we have. So let's look at the next example. Chal Leos B'Shabbos. Here we go. So if it falls on Shabbos, Kfarim Vayoros Gedolos Magdimin Bikorin Leom HaKnis. Look at that. The villagers and the big city people. Because they're going to do it on the Yom HaKnisa. On when?
On the
market day, which is?
Thursday.
Correct. Which means that they're all reading it on the 12th. Okay? Umukafas Choma Lamachar. Okay? And the walled cities will read it
the next day.
Tomorrow, which means Sunday, which is the 15th. Now, it happens to be that in our calendar now, Purim never falls out on Shabbos. Purim, the 14th does not fall out on Shabbos. The 14th could fall out on Friday, but it cannot fall out on Shabbos. And so we never have that issue. The only people who might not read it on the proper day is the people in a walled city. The people in a walled city. And nowadays, because we have cars.
Right.
So,
the walled cities are boy anymore, really.
No, no, I'm saying I have Yerushalayim, yeah, in Jerusalem. Okay, but I'm saying, but because we have cars, even villages that don't have a regular reader, they'll hire somebody who will drive in. So the idea that people are reading it earlier is probably pretty rare. But at the same time, even if Purim falls out on Friday and the 15th is going to be Shabbos, so in Yerushalayim they will not be reading it on Shabbos. They will read it on Friday, as we saw in the Mishnah. Which leaves us with one more possibility, one more opportunity. Chalios Achar HaShabbos. What's Achar HaShabbos?
After Shabbos?
Right. In other words, Saturday night and Sunday. Okay? So, and it's interesting. I wonder if there's any Mishnah which... You see how that word Achar? Achar?
Yeah.
So you know how a Resh and a Dalet, they kind of look similar. I wonder if any... If there's a different version of this Mishnah which says Chalios Echad B'Shabbos. Right, if it falls out on the first of the week. Anyway, Chalios Achar HaShabbos, if it falls out after Shabbos. So what do we have? Kfarim, Makdimin, Liyom HaKnisa. So the villagers, they will read it when? On the Yom HaKnisa. On
the market day.
Which is the previous market day would be?
Thursday.
And that's how you have it being read. On which date? That's how you have 3 days earlier. Okay, because if the Sunday is the 14th, that means that Saturday was the 13th, Friday is the 12th, Thursday is the 11th. So that's how you have Yud Aleph, if Purim falls out on Sunday. Okay, what do the big city people do? Ayaros, Gedolos, Korin, Bo, Bayom. They'll read it on that day, which is Sunday, which is the 14th. Umukafos, Choma, Umachar, and those in the surrounding in city surrounded by a wall, they will read it the next day, meaning on Monday. That would be the correct date for them. So only the villagers would have it done in a slightly different way. Okay, so that is how we make our way through this Mishnah, and as I think I tried to point out, this Mishnah follows a relatively easy formula. Okay, because it keeps on repeating the same formulation, but changing just a couple of small details, mostly in terms of the day in which the 14th of Adar falls. And once we have that conversation opened, then it's pretty easy to just to understand, I think, that how the formula works. And the formula is obviously consistent. There's no inconsistency there at all. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. Now that we have the Mishnah behind us, now the Gemara is going to try to analyze the rules of the Mishnah. So if you want to turn to this page, the one that has the last line of the Mishnah, and then it goes into the Gemara on the next line. Again, it's magnified. So you can go ahead and go over there. Now is where we get a little more hard. Because while the Mishnah is written in Hebrew, the Gemara is written primarily in Aramaic. It does have some Hebrew in it. So we need to break things down a little slower and certainly more precisely to make sure that we don't miss anything. Okay? So the first thing I'm going to ask you is, do you find a repeat or a vav? A repeat or a vav. Those are the best indicators of where there is going to be a break. So see if you find either one of those starting after where it says Gimel Mem.
Yeah, Gedolos Korim.
No. Under the Gimel, from where it says Gimel Mem. Because that's what we're up to.
I'm working from this one.
Yeah. No, I gave you the last line again to get us into the Gemara. Okay, so that's good. So you're now in the third line. There's a repeat even earlier than that. Within the Gemara, there's a repeat.
Yeah, Mem Nun Lamed, Mem with the...
Correct. Okay, Minolan. Minolan, it comes from it's similar to the Hebrew word min, which means from, but Minolan means from where? From where? So I'll give you, here, I'll read to you from this. In understanding the Talmud, this is the book that I mentioned last time, Rabbi Feigenbaum. So he has an entry on the word Minolan. which literally means, from where are these words? From where to us? He said, Minahani milia minalan are informative questions, generally on some previous statement, usually asking for the Torahitic source for that statement. Make sure you know which previous statement the Gemara is asking about, because minalan literally means, from where are these words? And ask yourself, which words? The phrases Minahani milia and minalan themselves constitute the question. Immediately following either one of them comes the answer, generally the quotation of a biblical verse. Make sure you know whether the biblical verse is in and of itself the source, or whether the Gemara goes on to discuss the verse in order to turn it into a source for the statement. Okay, so that's the kind of thing that you slowly work on as you're making your way through. So the fact that it's a repeat indicates, usually, because it's a question, that it's not saying it twice. Now, I remember when I was in high school, I think the Secretary General of the United Nations at the time was Boutros Ghali. And there was a guy in my class who was very funny. I mean, not a serious word ever came out of this guy's mouth. And one day he said to our history teacher, "I think the Secretary of the United Nations, his mother stuttered." That was his joke. It's like, how did he get the name Boutros Ghali? Because it's the same name twice. His first name and his middle name. I mean, seriously. I can only imagine if my parents gave me the name Avi Gillet. I mean, it's just bizarre. But I'm not going to comment on that person's culture. I suppose that, you know, whatever, normal name. There's a famous psychologist named Erik Erikson. So, you know, that's...
Yeah, a lot of people have...
Right.
The first name and last name of
Erikson. Right. Okay. Fair enough. But anyway, the Gemara is not going to ask a question using the same question word twice. So therefore, there is going to be a pause between the first minolan and the second minolan. And so when we read through this, we have to understand that the first minolan has a pause after it. Megillah nikres biyud aleph minolan. Okay? So what does Megillah nikres mean? That's the opening lines of the Mishnah. Megillah nikres biyud aleph. So that whole phrase, those three words, were the opening lines of the opening words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said the Megillah is what's Nikres?
Read.
Correct. It's read on the 11th. So the Gemara's question is, Minolan. Where do you get such an idea from? Right? The Megillah itself tells us that we're supposed to read the Megillah on the 14th of Adar. So the Gemara's question is, Megillah, Nikres, Beit Aleph, Minolan. Where do you get that from? Okay, and then the Gemara says, Minolan. So now, this is one of my more fun exercises in general, is which I like to do with Chumash. I didn't do it here, but in... I did it in a sermon a couple weeks ago, where I shared how in Parshas Vayera, I'm trying to remember who it was. It was the Chassam Sofer, I think it is. Was it Chassam Sofer? No, I'm confusing things. No, it wasn't Chassam Sofer. It was the Alshich. The Alshich's comment is, when Avraham is approached by Avimelech in Parshas Vayera, right before the Akedah, the binding of Yitzchak, so Avimelech says to him, "I'd like to make a treaty with you." And Avraham says, okay. And Avimelech says, "But I need you to swear that you're going to treat my children and grandchildren, etc., nicely. I know that I can trust you for me, but I need to know that it's going to be good for the future." So the pasuk says, Avram says, "Anochi ishaveya," which literally means, "I will swear." So the Alshik is one of the commentaries on the Torah. He says that Avram, "Anochi ishaveya," you have to know what the punctuation is. Okay, the punctuation is not Avram saying, "All right, I agree, I will swear." Avram is saying, with a question mark, "Anochi shaveya? I should swear? What about you? Don't you have to swear also?" And so that is, it's such a beautiful insight in saying that, you know, you don't have to expect everything to be one-sided. Both sides need to agree. But the only way you can read that is if you have an openness to realizing that the dramatic reading maybe is not what we're assuming. I'll give you an example from this week's parsha. The Or HaChaim says on this week, on the parsha this week, that when Yaakov comes into his father to get the blessing, so pretending that he's his brother, he says, Yitzchak says to him, "Who are you?" And he says, "Anochi Esav v'charecha, I am Esav, your firstborn." Now, what does that mean? You know, how does he pull that off? Is he really lying? Is he telling? So there are answers to that question, but Yitzchak says to him, "Ataze b'ni Esav," okay, which most translate to mean, "Are you the Ataze b'ni Esav? Are you this? Are you really my son?" So the Or HaChaim says that Yitzchak was saying, "Ataze b'ni Esav, you are. I agree." Okay, in other words, whatever it is that you're representing here, it's Esav. And that's what's supposed to be the case, because you made a deal with him, you had a transaction, you became the firstborn, however you want to understand that. But again, it's about the vowel, not the vowelization, but the punctuation. Ataze b'ni Esav, you are. You are my son. And that's not the way that everybody, punctuates the thing. So here, now you have Minolan, and you have Minolan a second time. So the second Minolan is the Gemara taking to task the first Minolan. Okay? The first Minolan, the Gemara says, Megillah Nikreis B'Yud Aleph. Megillah is read on the Yud Aleph, which means on the 11th. Minolan! Where do you get that from? So the Gemara says, Minolan? Minolan? What do you mean, where do you get that from? Okay, and that is what, and so the Gemara is going to start answering the question by basically saying that your question is not a good question. Okay, so now we have to break it down. I just wanted to show you how when it says Minolan twice, the second Minolan is really calling the first Minolan to task. Right, because the first one says, "Oh, how do I know that you can read it in the beginning of the 11th? How do you know? What do you mean, how do you know? How do you know? How do you know? What do you mean? It has to be. Oh, like, what kind of question? It's duh, obvious." Okay, so with that understanding of how to read it, now we have to find our next break. Okay, so again, I'm going to read without inflection and see if you could find things which are repeated. Kedeba'inan, lemeimar, lekamon, chachamim, hikilu, al, hakfarim, liyos, makdimin, liyom, haknisa, kidei, sheisapku, mayim, or sheispaku, mayim, umazon, La'achihem shebikrachim anan hachi ke'amrinan michde kulu anshe. And that next thing stands for Knesses Hagdola. There's a group called the Anshe Knesses Hagdola, which is mentioned in Pirkei Avos and in other places. So it was a group, Anshe Knesses Hagdola, the people of the Great Assembly. Takaninu de'i Samach Dalad means Salka Daitach, Anshe Knesses Hagadola.
This is a repeat.
Okay, good. So Anshe Knesses Hagadola is a repeat. But prior to that, we've also seen other things which are a repeat. For example, go back to the third line in the Gemara. Again, after the Gimel Mem. So the line under the one that begins with Minolan. We have the word Ha Kfari. Okay, we have Makdimin Liyom Haknisa. Okay, that means to go to read it earlier on the market day. Okay, so those are repeats, and therefore they are, I don't want to say red flags, but they are flags for us to show, well, hold on a second, you need to pay attention to these phrases. Okay, so so when you get to Magdim and Liam Magnisa, for sure, you know that it's referring to going back to the marketplace. We've seen that before. So let's go back to the second Minolan. Okay, so again, it's the first word on the third line on this portion of the page that we have. Okay, Minolan, Minolan. What do you mean? How do we know that you can read the Megillah on the 11th? So here we have Kedibainan. Oh, so where do you think the first phrase is going to end after Minolan? By Chachamim, correct. Okay, correct. Chachamim indicate a speaker or a group that's presenting an idea. So that means that our phrase is kidba inan lemeimar lekamun. Now these are all Aramaic words. Lekamun is a word which I gave you last week. Is it on the list here? I don't remember. Lekamun is not, but okay. Lekamun means what's coming, what happens in the future. So meaning in the text. So lekamun refers to later on in the Gemara. And the way I keep translating it to be what's coming, because kamun and coming sound the same.
Okay.
Where, you know, coming is C-O-M-I-N with a G, and kamun is K-M-N, right? Okay, K-Kuf Mem Nun. So that's why I translated that way.
Like common.
Right, but it's what's coming. In other words, it's further down. So kidiba inan lememar lekame. So this is where, you know, your Jastrow, for example, would come in handy. The Jastrow dictionary that I showed you last week. Kidiba inan means as we need. Lememar. Lememar is like similar to the word omer, which means to say, as we need to say in what's coming. Chachamim hikilu al hakfarim. Lios Magdimin, Lios Magnisa. Okay, we're going to stop with this. The Chachamim, we already determined that the Yom Magnisa is a repeat, and therefore it's going to be a pause. The Chachamim, Hikilu. You know what Hikilu means?
No.
Okay, it's from the word Kal. Kal means to be lenient. The rabbis were lenient. Al HaKfarim. So you know what Kfarim are. Kfarim are what?
Are the cities.
No, Kfarim are the villages, okay? So the rabbis were lenient on the villagers, lihios, to allow for them to be makdimin, to go earlier, liyom haknisa. Okay, so that they could read the Megillah earlier on market day. And so what's the Gemara implying? This is important to understand, again, how the Gemara, you have to talk it out. If we just learn that the Chachamim, that the rabbis, were lenient on the villagers to allow them to go to read the Megillah on market day, what does that tell us?
They want us to read it early, which could be on the 11th.
Correct, which could go as early as the 11th, okay? Because anything beyond that is not mathematically feasible or necessary. Forget about feasible, it's not mathematically necessary. And so once we've established, this is why the Gemara says, Minala, what do you mean Minala? The rabbi said, the people in the villages, they're allowed to read earlier. And if they're allowed to read earlier, then as early as possible, feasibly for them, really depends on when, what day of the week.
Is the market day.
So no, what day of the week Purim falls out, and based on when Purim falls out, will determine how far away the market day is, and therefore how early they can
read.
They can read the Megillah. Okay, so that's where we'll stop, and we'll continue this next time. Okay? Thank you.